Good morning. It's the 14th of December. Our middle reading today is Habakkuk 3. I'm going to read to you from Brother Fred Pierce's book on the Minor Prophets. These are his closing reflections on Habakkuk. I read. As we briefly compare the prophecy of Habakkuk, among the last of the minor prophets to write before the exile, with one of the earliest, say that of Joel, what major differences do we notice to have developed in 200 years? There is, in the later prophets, a deep consciousness of the corruptions of Israel and a realization of the inevitability of divine final judgment for the majority of the nation. Salvation will be for a few, the remnant. This conviction leads naturally to the question, what then is to be the fate of God's kingdom, centred in Jerusalem, where he had placed his name? How is his purpose to be fulfilled? Why are the pagan nations allowed to triumph, even admitting the iniquity of Judah, especially such violent and corrupt idolaters as the Assyrians? And when the Assyrian is destroyed, why does God permit another, equally corrupt and evil power, the Chaldean, to arise and continue the oppression? How long, O Lord, how long? To which questionings the answer of God falls into two parts. The vision is for a long time, but Yahweh will arise as he has done in the past. He will deliver his faithful and vindicate his great name among the nations. Meanwhile, pride is the destruction of man. But the just shall live through the present troubles by his faithful service and patient waiting, sustained by the thought that the gods of the nations are mere idols, but the Lord is the God of his salvation. The relevance of these conclusions to ourselves in the 21st century needs no stressing. We too see the violent and corrupt of the earth triumph, and are moved to wonder how long this course can last and what troubles the future may have in store. To us, too, the lesson is pointed. The Lord who brought Israel out of Egypt is he who raised from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the future bearer of his name in the earth and the ruler of all nations. For his coming, we are bidden to wait with the same faithfulness as were the prophets, remembering that the Lord will look with favour and blessing upon the poor and contrite, that is, those who rely not upon their own strength, nor are proud, but are the humble before God, trembling at his word. In these studies of some of the prophets, we have been able to sample a little of the quality of that word. It is, however, a quality which reveals its true depth only to those who read it with reverent devotion, for it is a quality of spirit rather than a mere recital of facts. But the prize is great, for the spirit so absorbed becomes a source of strength in this time of probation. It is the knowledge of God by which we are able to draw near to him who is the Holy One, the Saviour, and preserver of his saints. Brother Pierce finishes his book with a quotation from Micah. But as for me, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And in the firm conviction that God will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which he has sworn unto our fathers from the days of old, we may go quietly on our way in faith, earnestly desiring the manifestation of the sons of God. Thank you for listening to me.